First Samuel chapter 17, and I have a lot of reading to do, and I'm going to try to go slow because I really want you to just hang on to every word, because there's a lot in here. Okay, 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines, or the Philistines, whatever you want to call it, gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Azekah in Ephesdamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and pitched in the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. You might say he was carrying the mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass about his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulder. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now you might say that they was trembling with fear because of the words of this Philistine. And then we go down and we talk about David and how he was out tending the sheep, and his father summoned him to come because three of his oldest brothers, was in the army of Israel. And so his father said to David, take some food to your brothers and bring back the report of what's going on. And in verse 16, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Drop down to 19. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brother. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his kingdom, and make his father's house free in Israel. And so David, he inquired the men, you know, and about what's going on, and what's going to be done for the man that confronts this guy. And so they told him, well, here's what's going to happen. The king's going to give all this stuff, going to give his daughter, going to make the family free of taxes. And, of course, as we get down through there, we see that his older brother confronted him, you know, and he thought it was just pride in David, and so he rebuked him. But David said, is there not a cause? And it went on. He turned to one and said the same thing. And so they went and they told Saul what was going on. And Saul sent for him. And so David said in verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And so Saul, he tries to convince David that you don't understand. This guy has been around. He's been in wars. He's a seasoned gladiator. And who are you? But finally, you know, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And so Saul, he said, well, you know, you got to have some protection. And so he puts his armor on David. Now, understand, Saul's armor probably weighed as much as David. And so David, he sort of staggered a little bit, and he says, wait a minute. He says, I can't go in your armor. He said, I haven't proved it. And so David took them off in verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand. This would be like a staff. He took his staff in his hand. And chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his crypt. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I am come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they had come to the valley, to the gates of Ekron. And the wound of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sheram, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. Father, we thank you and praise you, Father God, for speaking to us today, Lord God. We thank you for this story, Lord God, of David and Goliath, Lord God. God, every kid, Lord God, in children's church, Sunday school, God, has heard this awesome story, God. But God, we want to go even deeper than just hearing the story, Father. So God, have your way, Father. God, just open our hearts to receive what you have for us, Father. And God, may your word change us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. What a story. So here's the battle. And when it said they was arrayed in battle, what they would do, the Philistines would stand on one mountain, and the armies of Israel would stand on another. And they would just shout back and forth. They would taunt each other. Now the Philistines, they had irons of chariot. They was very sophisticated in war at that time. And so they had the advantage. But the Valley of Elah runs east and west. And in the bottom of this valley, there was a canyon. And so the Philistines couldn't get their chariots across there to attack the armies of Israel. And so they was standing, and they was just shouting back and forth, taunting each other to come. And it wasn't going well for the armies of Israel. They was afraid. They had the fear put into them. But this was the day that the tide turned. So the title of the message is, The Day the Tide Turned. Now we could say there's four principal characters. There's the army of Israel, the representation of Israel, and they were defending. The Philistines was invading, and they were defending. Now the army of Philistines, they were invaders of Judah. And there was Goliath. Now, here's Goliath, and he's very tall. He could never stand up in here. Somewhere between 10, 11 feet, somewhere in that range. He was a big guy. And he wasn't only tall, but he was strong. He was, as a matter of fact, this was the one that the Philistines, or the armies of the Philistines, out of all the army, they had chosen this guy to be the meanest, the most ruthless gladiator. He had been proven. He had been in battle. And he had come back the victor many times. And so they had sent him out to, you know, demoralize the armies of Israel. And then there was this kid by the name of David. He was a farm boy. Now, they believe the approximate time that David is born in Bethlehem was about 1035 B.C. Now, in 1025, 10 years later, Samuel goes to the town of Bethlehem and anoints the shepherd David as the future king of Israel. So he's between 10 and 12 years old. In 1023 B.C., David, in that time frame, was when the evil spirit would come on Saul, and Saul was depressed, oppressed, whatever you want to call it. And so his advisors told him, You know, you need to get somebody that is anointed, that will come, and when that anointing comes and brings the presence of the Lord, you're going to find peace. And so that was when they said, we know a man, we know a boy, and he's got this anointing. And Saul said, bring him. And so David would come, and when Saul was in this depression, he was down in this deep dark hole, and he would have David come, and David would begin to play. And they believed that this wasn't just 2 minutes or 5 minutes, but David would pray, David would play his instrument, and the Spirit of God would come, and all the other stuff would just go and give Saul some peace. And in 1020 BC was when David went to fight Goliath. So he's about 15 years old when he's fighting Goliath. So you can understand why, you know, everybody thought, you're going to go and fight for us? And of course, the Philistines, you know, they thought, got to be kidding. Goliath, he said, just a kid coming. What's he going to do? So, as we look at this, is there a lesson in this story for us today? A lot of these things we look, well, that happened back then. That's a good story. But is there a lesson in this that we can learn from today? And the answer is yes. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, wrote this. He said, as Christians, we war against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the Philistines. We're at war with the Philistines. So, what have the Philistines come to defeat? Well, whatever God is for, they're against. They're against the body of Christ. They're against the local church. They're against our nation, because we are one nation under God. They're at war in those in authority over us. They want to attack our government leader, our spiritual leaders. They're at war in our schools, in our families, in our marriages, our physical bodies, our peace, our joy, whatever. They are out, the Philistines are out to steal those things. The Philistines intimidated Israel how long? 40 days. You know what it said? 40 days. Well, 40 represents a period of testing or trials. Have you ever heard of Leif Hetland? Well, he puts it this way. The object is to wear you out, to bring fatigue. When fatigue comes in, fear comes in. The next thing is failure. You fail, you feel like you're the only one that is here. Then comes forsaken. He isolates you. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You even get offended with your best friends, which bring you more isolation. The first target of invasion is Judah. Judah means praise. First Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So here's the question. How's your praise? If it's not where it should be, the Philistines may have come in. In the whole Bible, there's only one David. David, the word David means beloved. There's only one of you, and you're called his beloved. So, here's Goliath. Just as the Philistines sent their champion, or the one chosen most likely to win, your enemy will send whatever is most likely to bring defeat. Goliath represents the many obstacles and pitfalls we encounter in life, whether they be spiritual or physical. While we may never encounter giants in the flesh as physical enemies, we do encounter symbolic giants that can confront us in the spiritual and physical realm. These Goliaths will try to win over us, but like David, come on, we have the grace of God on our side, and God will empower us to confront and conquer those enormous giants. Come on, there should be excitement in this place. Hallelujah. This is a church you can shout in. Glory to God. So in the whole Bible, only one David, beloved, only one of you, you're called his beloved. So if you choose, see, David had a choice. He didn't have to go. Nobody would have thought anything about it if he had never offered to go. So if you choose to go against the Goliath that's come up against you, or whoever, or whatever you are defending, know the outcome will affect many people. You know, as David went out, he didn't say, Goliath, you have defied me. He said, you have defied the armies. You have defied what I'm defending. Many people may not see you as adequate or even qualified, but that doesn't make them your enemy. Just like David's brothers tried to talk him out of it. Who do you think you are? Why do you think you can go out there and defeat this guy? You know, they weren't his enemies. And, you know, that could have sidetracked David. David could have gotten into a verbal battle with the brothers, right? And he would have missed Goliath. You are unique, and you can't go with Saul's armor. You can't go with someone else's armor. Put on God's armor. But don't do it in haste. Don't just grab the armor, you know. The Bible says, put on the armor of God. It talks about all the armor to put on. And so we go on and we read the next verse. But don't put on the armor of God in haste. Listen very carefully to what God says. God knows what's coming down the road. God knows the battle that's coming. And He knows what you need for protection in this battle. And use the weapons that you have proven works for you. Now, when you go into battle, how many have ever gone into battle? Well, if you're a Christian, you should have gone into battle. So when you go into battle, you can't go with my faith. I can't go with your faith. I've got to have stuff that I've proven. And you'll get a chance to prove what you believe. Because that's what it boils down to. So David went down to the brook. Right? Isn't that what it says? David went down to the brook. Now, going down speaks of humility. First step before you go into battle. He went down to the brook. Now, water is a symbol of life as well as a means of cleansing or purification. And it also, water speaks of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So here's David. And he's going down to the brook. And if you've ever gone to a stream and, you know, got something out of it, whether it was a stone or whatever, maybe crabs, whatever you caught in the stream, sometimes you had to get down on your knees, right? Now picture David. David's going into battle. Against overwhelming odds. And so, now there's Goliath. In the natural, you would want to keep your eye fixed on him, right? David went to the brook, and he got down on his knees. As he chose 5 smooth stones. Now, I believe that that was a time of surrender to God. When he was on his knees, he was surrendering to God. I believe as David reached down into the water, he was dedicating his hands to the work of the Lord. We are right now in the midst of the Jewish festive season or feast season of Hanukkah. Hanukkah means to dedicate. In John 10:22, it may be, you may have heard it as the Feast of Lights or the Feast of Dedication. In John 10:22, it's called the Feast of Dedication. And right after it says that, it says, and it was winter. The feast commemorates when the temple in Jerusalem was rededicated in 165 BC after its desecration. So as we worship our Savior and Jesus Christ, our King, you know, as we're here to worship, right? This is worship. So as we worship Jesus, what a great time to rededicate our temples, our bodies to God, and experience a breakthrough into another spiritual level. Anybody want to do that? Hallelujah. 5 smooth stones. Why 5? Well, I'm sure you've heard the story. Well, what if he missed? He had backup. Or he had 4 other brothers. And so he had 1 for each of them. And the Bible does talk about 4 brothers. It was dealt with later on, even names them. So there was 5. But how did they get smooth? Well, they got smooth by the water, or the Word of God flowing over and over and over again. In Joshua chapter 4, God told the people, He told Joshua, He said, here's what you tell your people. When you crossed Jordan, when the water rolls back for the presence of God to go through, choose 1 man out of each tribe, or 12 men, and take a stone from the midst. From the midst of the Jordan. There was no Jordan there then. It was dry. But that's where the Jordan had been, right? He said, do it as a memorial or a memory of the miracle God performed. And so the term, you've heard the term crossing Jordan, and that speaks of crossing from death to life. So there's many Jordans to cross. So I like to think of these 5 stones David chose as reminder, or we'll call them memory stones, to remind him of God's faithfulness as he walked or as he run from that valley to victory. It said he chose 5 stones, put them in his shepherd's bag, and I believe he chose each one carefully. It wasn't just scoop up a bunch, but each one he chose carefully. So, why 5? Well, the number 5 is a symbol of God's grace. And so these 5 stones that he chose might represent things like this. For him to remember as he went to face Goliath. The first one he chose might go like this. I remember you anointing me king. I remember that when you anointed me, the presence of God was on me from that day forth. The next stone might be, David said, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion. I remember that. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the bear. I remember that. Last stone. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. He didn't say he might. He said he will. In other words, this one's for you, Goliath. David knew that the victory was by the grace of God and God's love for his people, not by his own merit. But David knew that the victory of God would be complete. The armies of Israel had been talking about Goliath for 40 days. They talked back and forth about Goliath. David talked to Goliath. So notice what happened when Goliath was killed. The army that was fearful now became warriors. The Philistines were destroyed. And Israel spoiled their tents. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. They were making a statement to themselves as well as their enemies, they're not coming back. Give no place to the devil. No place for him to come back to. It's tore down. It's destroyed. So whatever area you're attacked in, whatever area you're attacked in, that's where you're supposed to be a giant slayer. Or where God wants to use you. Goliath wants to steal your anointing. Think about it. Father, we thank you for your word, Father. God, you're an awesome God. You're a mighty God. And Father, just like you anointed David, you chose him, Father. He was your beloved, Father. And God, we are your beloved. We thank you for your word, your encouragement, Lord God. God, just speak to us, Lord God. Stir us, Lord God. God, that this year, this season, nothing is going to come against what you have for your people. Hallelujah. God, no matter what comes, Father, God, we know you are, your grace, your mercy is there for your beloved. And so, Father, we ask, Lord God, as we continue on, Father, God, that you will speak to us, Lord God. And God, you will encourage us, Lord God. And we give you glory. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, show forth your might and your power in this place today. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. So today, I have something I want to do. I have some smooth stones. And I have some bags. And so, what I'm going to ask you to do, if you're willing to fight Goliath, I want you to come. Is Goliath going to challenge you? He will. If are you willing to fight?